Ray, what did you think of episode 7?
So good.
Miggy.
So good. Miguel Sapochnik, man, the darkness that man
can
articulate. Oh my gosh, it was amazingly directed.
Yeah.
So good. Where to begin? I mean, let's start at the beginning. The beginning was quite slow.
Oh, and intentionally though,
you know, so. And you can tell, like, in terms of the pacing afterwards that followed. You could tell that he deliberately made the first 10 minutes a bit of a breather. He was like, well,
yeah,
if you think about what I have in store for you, you are going to want to just take
sit
a breath.
Yep.
Just enjoy looking at people not saying anything for 10 minutes because you have no idea what's coming.
Ray, so many moments. I almost feel like, okay, so most impactful to me was this beautiful intercutting, which reminds me of some of the best of what we experienced with the sort of previous series.
Yeah.
Where there was that thing of you grabbing and you grabbed me. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was 2013 era Ray grabbing Albert's shoulder, just being like, what?
What is this?
And what was those moments for you? I think it was.
Yeah, let's go through character by character.
Okay. All right.
Right. Let's. Shall we start with Allison?
Okay, so Allison with her freaking like I'm onto you look of Rhaenyra at sort of the mourning party, which again, the whole context is the funeral of Lena.
Yeah.
But Allison's the confrontation of I'm gonna take your eye.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's like Rhaenyra was saying, the mask was slowly starting to slip away.
Now they see.
And
you
when
you
her
are.
Children, you know, when Aemon was injured. That side of her came out. What was really interesting to me, and that's when I grabbed you, where I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe she's publicly asking for her eye, for her son's eye.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting is she was very contrite and she was, is that the right word? Contrite?
Contrite, isn't that like forthright?
Or no,
like
I don't know.
Explicit? She was very unfiltered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very... frank and candor. But afterwards, she actually felt bad. She
Until Otto came around.
Yeah, so it was like whatever, just like, you know, sliver of conscience that she had left, her father just came into the room and wielded that and just snuffed it right out of her, saying, no, I've never seen that side of you, and this is what you're going to need to become... you know, the rightful rulers of the throne.
I was genuinely taken back by that. I thought he was going to admonish her for basically compromising their strength and their position. But the genius of the Miguel episodes especially are the twists.
Yeah.
You know, and this was him saying, look, we got a dragon out of it. And
just
seeing his grandson...
Yeah.
As so disposable.
Yeah.
You know,
Aemond,
you know, he lost an eye, but we gained like basically
I would pay
7 or 8
times.
B2 bombers.
I'd pay 1,000 times greater price than this. And I think in those moments, you sort of see something just sort of leave her face. Like she also sees how evil her father is and how calculating and strategic he is. And also that, he did see his grandson as completely disposable.
This was
and what was interesting is that, because, you know, when he says, let go of the blade, Alicent, you think that he is against it, but he is still just being strategic in that moment, right?
Oh, and my gosh, that was so high tension.
He also thought, oh, my God, that scene was so good.
Like, are you serious? And just when you thought it was over, it's like, no, it's not over. She's going to go for her.
She's going to go for it.
Across with her husband's dagger.
Yeah.
With the cat's paw dagger that Arya later, you know, kills the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. And also that question of hierarchy was really interesting in the room, which is Ser Criston is her guard. Who is he loyal to?
Yeah.
Can the king then veto what he wants to do or what Alicent orders him to do?
Criston actually backs down. He's like, I am your leal to you, but as your protector, not as your remover of children's eyes.
Yeah.
Also,
that is your hired gun.
This makes me want to, for the first time, check out scene reactions.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because that would be a tradition is you would watch and then, let's see how people just freaked out to the Red Wedding or whatever.
Yeah.
The demanding of the eye
it's
confrontation
insane.
Would be fantastic to see people like
eye for
eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Okay, so Allison.
That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was quite important. And what was really curious is Otto knew that what Eamon got out of that scene or what Eamon got out of that whole altercation was worth it. But even then, he doesn't stop it.
No.
He just lets it get as chaotic as it gets. You know, so I just thought that was really interesting. And you can just see how conniving and what a master kind of manipulator he is. And how he contributed to the erosion of Alicent's moral compass.
Yeah.
Right? Because even the slivers of guilt or goodness that she does have, he's like, nah, you got to get rid of it.
And in fact, he is listening to her saying, kind of going over what she believes he's going to basically, you know, admonish her for. And that part about, yeah, people think I'm mad. And he said, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Now let's move over to old mate Damon.
I love, so what I called it at the start was this almost 5 minutes or so of very scattered dialogue, lots of wind, lots of mourning, lots of looks.
Yeah. But 10 minutes, first 10 minutes.
Something would have to have been that. But peppered throughout.
Yeah.
I just sensed something going on with Damon.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Simmering. And what we saw, I mean, there's big moves in this one.
Oh,
as well as snapping, like, you know, a stand-in body's neck.
Yeah.
Because that's who they eventually burned. So murder.
Yeah.
Sex with Rhaenyra. But like you said, love.
Yeah.
Like, those in this fucked up world, you know, incest, all that, they actually do love each other.
Yeah. And you can tell his body language is very different when he's in front of Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
He respects her.
Yeah.
You know, and he loves her. There's like his body language is very different.
Had his hand on his heart. A body language we've not seen him do. I think that was intentional from Matt.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. When she asks him to marry him, you know, you can see there's a tenderness there and he's really considering it.
And she asks him.
And and you can see like they're just trusted confidants.
They are.
Like they're just sort of these ride or dies, you know, whether it's uncle, niece, lovers, husband and wife, like they're just this dynamic duo.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's actually anybody else that they trust more than each other.
Yeah.
It was insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Their marriage ceremony was very old school. It was almost Targaryen.
I said like almost like, because with the thing, like the geisha kind of.
Yeah.
The lip cut. Creating beautiful. And very. The
outfits.
Very primal.
Yeah.
Very ancient.
Tribal, yeah.
Tribal and a bit Japanese with the kimono-esque kind of.
Robes, you know, the bold, the sort of gold beige ombre going into the blood of the red. Like that was amazing.
The reinforcement.
And just how calmly they planned out Laenor's escape
Beautifully,
murder.
I mean, sorry for that one random guard who got used as a body, obviously, but it's because I turned to you. I was like, Rhaenyra was just telling Laenor about, hey, you're a good man.
Yeah.
So for a second, I was like, wait, and now you're sanctioning a hit. But no, it was to free him. I truly believe we are not going to hear from him again.
I hope so. I don't think he wants this life.
Yeah.
Unless
someone digs him up.
Yeah, unless someone finds him.
That's a season
him.
4 type thing. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God,
that
they found
him. Brilliant plot development.
Twist.
Excellently done.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Okay.
I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about Aemon and
the balls on this kid.
What's the name of the dragon?
Vega. Yeah. The one of the, I believe, please correct me in comments or whatever, but I believe Vega is so large because one of the dragons from ancient Valyria, huge, massive, ancient, and the oldest and largest dragon.
Yeah.
Because Balon, the Black Dread, which was, I think, Jaehaerys's one, and then Viserys rode him once.
Yeah.
And then he died, and that's the skull.
Yeah.
But he was fucking massive.
Yeah.
Massive. But Vhagar is the second biggest, and now the biggest.
And you can see how Aemon has his mother's sort of, you know, that sort of Machiavellian tendencies, you know, the day of the Laena's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
He just guns for the biggest dragon.
Should have claimed it yourself, you know?
Yeah, and also that altercation between the kids. Oh, the way that the kids
incredible.
Were injuring family Themselves, members yeah. and each other. Because they're kids. All they're doing is reacting to how the adults in their lives yeah. are treating each other.
I mean,
because they maiming. Are, so, and so, yeah, just wow. maiming one another, like actually assaulting and almost preparing to kill
yeah.
family members.
I'll feed you to my dragon.
Yeah, gosh. Whoa. I thought I was saying this is really, really messed up and
mm-hmm. yeah.
but brilliantly choreographed. The tension was very, very good.
When he's going, I keep playing in my mind of him having this calling to have his own dragon.
Yeah.
That pink dread mockery and all that.
Yeah.
And just that further stoking this like, oh, fuck you. Oh, pink dread. Well, how about this? I'm going to, I mean, there's a risk there.
Mm.
That dragon, we don't know. It's ancient. They're intelligent in their own way.
Yeah.
They could have been like, I don't care if you're a Targaryen. I don't care that you're trying to
climb. You're not Laena's daughters.
And like yeah. Dracarys. But he just had that fucking the balls, really.
Yeah,
and
the energy, yeah.
I think the dragon was like, one day or the day of the funeral of my past master, you come to me. It was very yeah. Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
I could see Vegar kind of squinting his eyes and being like, okay.
I respect that. You know? I respect the game, you know? So I thought that was so brilliantly
beautiful
done.
Flights too.
And you know, he's also a great contrast and foil to Aegon.
Yes.
Who just is so useless disinterested fucking... in all of this.
Okay.
But you know, you have Aemon saying, you could marry her if you like. I could do that to the duty. Like he's got his eye on the prize.
You know,
Aemond.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to Aegon. Aegon just a hedonist.
He reminds me of like someone like in a rock band who released a really shitty album
yeah.
and is just not doing anything with his life.
Yeah.
And has inherited his grandfather's inertia.
Yeah.
Oh, no, his father's inertia.
Yeah,
because that's right. He's Viserys' son.
Interesting, yeah. I just think he's just not interested yeah. in this.
He's and... like Daemon, but like with no bite.
Yeah. yeah.
Which is a familial trait, you yeah. know, like his brother... also, Viserys, like, completely lambasting, doesn't matter, like, his son, because Aemond is his second son
yeah.
by Alicent. His son's fucking eye is missing, but he's like, listen to me.
He loves his daughter.
He loves his daughter, and yeah. he wants peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is so determined to peace that he is literally... hacked his own mind to not see the skin color,
yeah. He's and like, the hair color. Yeah.
And Alison, do you remember you kept turning towards me when Alison kept talking over the king? And you were just like, what are you doing? And he's like, the matter's closed. And she's like, no, it isn't.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was insane. And it's like the queen demands it.
Yeah.
If the king will not, the queen will.
Yeah, it's just like, mate, I don't know if you know how this works.
and then everyone turned out, and then she felt like completely unhinged, and yeah. she took a dagger, and that's insane. That whole thing is insane.
Yes,
but Aemond is amazing,
and also it's just because usually, like we don't see, at least in this time, like a woman escalate to that level of violence.
That's
in like a royal position.
Yeah,
it was women. Amazing. Women usually play the game by being in this context. Being very kind of manipulative, they use their minds and their wits, right? Yeah, and she bought a dagger.
It was a knife fight, and you never expect that. You know,
and
again,
she cut her.
The reason why it was unexpected, she did.
Yeah,
and the reason it was so unexpected is because that shit normally.
Yeah.
You'll have people stabbing each other in alleyways. You'll have
yeah.
this sort of stuff, but brazenly with the full court.
Yeah, it was
everything.
Just, yeah.
All of history witnessing you. She gets the fucking dagger and runs towards Rhaenyra. And what?
Yeah, it's like all of fucking... that sense of propriety of the court just like disappeared in that moment. I was so impressed.
He was cheeky. He was setting us up for a very mellow.
Yeah.
You know, episode. And then. It's insane.
He just went for it.
It's my favorite episode so far.
It was absolutely stunning. I'm so excited for next week. Nicely done.
I've got way more to say.
Yeah.
By the way.
Please.
I'll get this out of the way. So the strong kids, I mentioned early that how weird it felt to see Corlys kneeling down and trying to be like, you're going to be the Lord. It's like, there's that meme of like, I don't even know you, you know, yeah. that meme. And
you're
and
not family.
I actually had, I was telepathically talking to Miggy and his crew through the TV, through the screen. And I was like, You know what would be great is if we course corrected some of what Rhaenyra did.
Yeah.
Which even she herself, and there was moments where she directly addresses, like, we tried.
Yeah.
Her and, you know, Lena. Her and Lena tried. And then it's brought up again about, like, the arrangement, and she laughs and stuff. But I in my heart, I was like, you know what, Miggy, what would be interesting is I get it. Rhaenyra was, you know, having these kids, maybe to keep herself company, like, or to inflict on Alicent, and that's why Alicent's like, very angry.
I do feel like it went a bit too far.
Three,
to be honest.
Is it two? Is it three?
Yeah, I think they have two boys from
with brown. Oh yeah, and the third one with also brown hair.
Oh yeah, that's right, she just
exactly
has.
So three brown and Alicent was like, that's it, number three, and that's why she's freaking out, but. I had this throughout. I was like, but where's the Rhaenyra I know? You know, because she's taken this. She's a fighter. She's fire. But where is that dragon rider?
Yeah.
Where's that? And then her and Daemon have that walk on the beach, which was the first shot I ever saw of House of the Dragon back when it was being reported on the filming. I just saw them on the beach.
Oh, okay.
And that was a human, equal, loving conversation that led to a beautiful, and it was like beautifully shot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Her thing was
the sex scene. That was very subtle. Back. Yeah, beautiful. And yeah, and also it shows like she feels very comfortable to be that dragon with Daemon by her side. Like she fully emerges and she's at peace with it.
Mm.
You know, so it's like she can still have children. She just has had a child. So. Yes, incest and all of that is terrible. But in the context of this show, it makes a lot more sense for them to be together in order to secure the realm. So I feel like even, you know, after like a bit of fuckery for the last 10 years in terms of weakening her position on the throne by having these children.
I will always have a little bit of a problem with that.
Yeah.
This felt like everything snapped. I just snapped back into like, oh my God, like House of the fucking Dragon. Let's go. Whereas that 10 intervening years of having strong children.
Yeah. And it's just like, I can understand having one child.
Yeah.
But after that, you didn't curious think that to it me, she didn't have that foresight saying, do I want another one of these? Lena and I can't get pregnant.
They're gonna see.
What am I gonna do? Like, how can I course correct?
It's dumb.
So that might it's just not strategic.
It was just because she's the one that diffused Dragonstone with Mysteria, and she saw five steps ahead and knows how to get right up in Daemon's face.
Yeah, she was like, such a strategist.
A strategist. So this thing of passively having kids. I just wonder if there was an element of, because we talked about how there's microaggressions or macroaggressions in dynamics, that she just said, where can I hit Alicent the hardest in this arrangement?
But it didn't hit Alicent. It hurt her. It weakened her position to the throne.
Yeah.
Because Alicent, you know, had two very blonde Targaryen-looking children. So the fact that, you know, she kept having kids with a strong...
Yeah.
It weakened her position. And
so then that now I'm grasping.
You know? Yeah.
Help me, right?
But no. So that's why it's like, I don't quite know why it went on for 10 years. I can imagine one, you know, but given the Rhaenyra we know and how strategic and brilliant she is at the beginning of the show, I was a bit surprised that she just sort of let it go on for about a decade. But I am happy that they are course correcting and the stakes are increasing now. So
preparing
very,
for war.
Very curious about next week.
Okay. Well, if you don't have any further thoughts.
That's me.
All right. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
This episode feels like a darker time in the world of House of the Dragon. The Targaryens burn their dead with dragons when their time passes, so the Valyrians commit their dead to the sea.
Enembar masti, ba embryot amozim.
This was one of the first scenes that we filmed. It's interesting to see it at this point in the story because they didn't really know each other that well, and they do feel a bit estranged or on different pages. Everybody's here in this alien place at a funeral, and nobody really knows how to feel or act, and it works really well for the episode because it does just set everybody apart in a way.
It's a very long scene. I think there's about five different kind of little stories happening in a set of about 40, 50 people.
They haven't seen each other since he banished them again for robbing his daughter's innocence and saying horrible things to him. But Viserys has gone through some stuff and his health is failing, and I think he's feeling more like he wants family around him now than he probably was when he sent Daemon away.
The time that you came home,
brother.
The multitude of conversations are really about a family that has been somewhat blown apart, trying to find solace in each other, trying to a certain extent to forgive each other for all their past wrongdoings. And yet in the center of that is Rhaenyra and Daemon. Here they are together, both having lost someone, both grieving, and the chemistry between them is as strong as before.
There's a kind of massive, unprocessed, unresolved boulder in the room. Abandonment is something that just seems to happen on repeat to her. It happens with her mum, it happens with her dad, it happens with Alison, it happens with Daemon. And looking that wound in the eye, I think, is what happens in this scene. Rhaenyra and Daemon are made of the same stuff. It's why they're a terrible match. Added to which, when Rhaenyra is made heir, she essentially takes everything from Daemon. And yet her attraction goads her to go to the heart of that envy. I think there's a dangerous chemistry.
We really did want to dramatize the claiming of a dragon, and this little kid on the biggest dragon in the world felt like the best way to do that. He's the only kid on that side without a dragon, and he desperately wants one, and he's been picked on and bullied for not having one. So I think he finds himself at this funeral feeling alone and detached and sees an opportunity and then goes and seizes it.
Aemon is quite an introverted, sad kid who's gone through many hardships. Obviously, when he gets that dragon, his mood changes and he feels like he can do anything he wants. And that's where that villain comes into play.
It's him.
It's me.
Vhagar is my mother's dragon.
Vhagar has a new rider now.
There's a lot of tension between those two sides of the family, and this is one of the ways that it boils over. That's their mother's dragon. They grew up their whole life around that dragon, and to see somebody from the other side claim it at her funeral, I think it's a real slight.
It's not something normal. It's five kids absolutely battering each other. It's mental.
It's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye.
Rhaenyra comes into the Hall of Nine and suddenly there's a clarity. The greens and the blacks just solidify in a way that they hadn't done before.
Who did this?
They attacked me! He attacked me!
Silence!
He's a leaner, Daemon. I always liked the idea that he sort of leans. It felt like he was happy to watch them all implode.
It's a strange thing because his son's had his eye taken out in a fight with his daughter's children. Again, family stuff, you know. Viserys has a soft spot and an affection for Rhaenyra. And even that affects his marriage, that he doesn't stand up for his own children.
For Alison, it's finally boiling over all these years of playing that proper, I will not express myself emotionally in any way, shape or form, and she loses her shit. And it's a joy to watch.
Alison wants an eye for an eye.
Your Grace.
Alison, stay with the king!
Hold your throat! Hold your throat!
I don't think Rhaenyra is scared of violent pain, and so she's in a position to kind of goad Alison towards the outcome she's seeking.
Now they see you as you are.
That place of abandonment is healed. Rhaenyra is found by Daemon and it allows her to back herself and back her family and sort of walk straight at the accusations as opposed to trying to shield from them.
There is a shift that happens with the death of his sister. When someone you love dies, you start to think about your own life and what you want the rest of it to be. And I think he does have this moment of clarity where he goes, I'm going to be the person that I thought I was going to be.
What Lena really wanted was to be set free. And freedom to him is freedom from the bonds of his nobility. So if he was thought to be dead, that would mean he could go live a free life however he wanted. Ah! Rhaenyra and Daemon bond together and make a marriage pact. It's Targaryen with Targaryen in the old ways, you know, marrying within the bloodline to keep it pure.
This consummating of their relationship brings with it all the obstacles. Suddenly, with Daemon by her side, Rhaenyra becomes more formidable. It tells us that Rhaenyra is not going away.
Everyone says Targaryens are closer to gods than to men. But they say that because of our dragons. Without them, we're just like everyone else.
What we really tried to do was create a world where dragons existed. At this point in the history, there have never been as many dragons in the world since the time of Old Valyria, when there were 1,000 dragons alive.
That's quite a lot of dragons, but, you know, dragons are born, dragons die, dragons hatch.
George really wanted the dragons to be colorful. I thought that was great. The idea that dragons are reptiles, and if you look at reptiles, they traditionally have very, very colorful coats.
In the original series, dragons had lived at that point for 150 years, and when they're born, it's this miracle.
Blood of my blood.
Whereas in our world, not everybody has seen a dragon, but they are around. And they certainly, if you live in King's Landing, you've seen many of them fly overhead.
The core of any Targaryen is a dragon.
They're extremely powerful, and without them, we would not be the house that we are.
They are treated with fear and reverence and awe, but they're also used as threats. There's a kind of detente that exists when a force has such an overwhelmingly dominating power like dragons.
They're weapons of mass destruction. The reason that the Targaryens are considered as being closer to gods is because of their dragons.
You got the dragons. Are you going to use the dragons? Are you going to burn entire cities and armies or try to?
Dragons!
That's a big step for any king or lord or claimant to try to take.
We also want to have the dragons be their own characters.
The first dragon you meet is Syrax, which is Rhaenyra's dragon, who at this point is a young adult. Syrax was hatched to Rhaenyra when she was a child. I think the dragons that are born to their riders have a shared deeper bond than any of the other dragons. We kind of approached her like a bird of prey. So she's an eagle. She's built for speed. She's very proud and honorable.
Caraxes, the bloodworm, Daemon's dragon, is quite another thing. Vicious, some would say, short-tempered. Yeah, maybe the dragon and the rider have a little in common there.
Save me!
Caraxes has burned a lot of people and seen a lot of battles and has earned that name of the bloodworm. Another major dragon, I think, that you would have to say is, of course, Vhagar.
Vhagar is the oldest, largest dragon in the world. Certainly the largest dragon you've ever seen on Game of Thrones.
Queen Alicent's second son, Aemond, claims Vhagar, an act that actually inflames the dislike between the two branches of the family even more.
Vhagar is kind of old and falling apart a bit. The way we've approached dragons in this story is to say that dragons never stop growing. They just essentially grow until they die. And part of their death cycle is getting too large, too big for the world. And Vhagar is so large that she doesn't really fit anywhere anymore. In our story, she doesn't even fit in the dragon pit anymore because she's grown so large. And that's created a bit of a loner personality to her. And she's very grumpy. She sleeps a lot. You know, she's like an old cat.
Doharas. Syrax.
What we did a lot of work on was creating dragon infrastructure.
The dragon pit was meant to be basically a stable for dragons, but dragons being big, it's an enormous structure.
They're dragon keepers to look after and tend to the dragons. They have their whole own culture and mythos to them. There's dragon saddlery, so saddles are built to hold the dragons.
Dragon eggs are the gateway to power.
New offspring in the Targaryen line receive a dragon egg in the court. Hopefully that hatches, and then they will be sort of joined for the rest of their life.
I think it's quite interesting the way that the dragon eggs are described as only being partially successful in hatching. There's half of them don't ever actually hatch.
You've come for the egg.
Here it is.
The story of House of the Dragon is a character-driven story with a lot of dragons.
Everybody knew that if you messed with the Targaryens, you would get the dragon. So nobody dared to overthrow them. And at this time, the only thing that could tear down the House of the Dragon was itself.
Fire is such strange power. Everything that House Targaryen possesses is owed to it. Yet it has cost us both what we love.
Dracarys!
As Hand, I speak with the King's voice on this and all other matters.
Tomorrow the High Towers land their first blow.
Those vipers rule in my father's name.
To King's Landing, then. The Sea Snake has taken a grave wound in battle in the Stepstones.
Who will take the Driftwood throne?
The crown cannot stand strong if the House of the Dragon remains divided.
This is a matter of blood, not ambition.
This is a trap.
Nephews? The threat of war looms.